Well, everybody, I'm going to plunge on into talking about this new outbreak of conflict with Israel and Hamas. It's the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, which is like back in October 6, 1973. Same thing happened. They launched an all-out offensive against Israel, and that's been something that's happened over and over and over and over again. Gonna play you some things about the history of why isn't there a Palestinian state. That's all coming up in a sec. But, oh my goodness, what's happening? Jesus said there'll be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, in various places. But this is not the end. The end is not yet. Okay, so it might seem to you like terrible. But the end is not yet, says Jesus. What it is birth pains, and they continue. Birth pains. Are they getting closer together? Maybe. But you know how a woman, I remember Karen getting the birth pangs, you know, for their first, oh, it's time, you know, and yet they were too far apart and all this. But as time comes on, it gets closer and closer and closer until the bearing down. And we're not there yet, but we're certainly seeing the pains get tighter, aren't we? Man, it seems to people like we're reaching a crisis point, doesn't it? And there's a lot of shenanigans going on around things right now that maybe aren't transparent, but you dig a little bit and you'll find it out. For instance, we now know from Hamas that they've got weapons that came in from the Ukraine, which tells us that these weapons that are being sent to Ukraine aren't making it in anyway. We knew that already. There's so much corruption. It's a master world leader in corruption and money laundering for the deep state in Ukraine. And not talking about the regular Ukraine people. It's been the staging base for the world government types and their money laundering. That's why President Trump was attacked and they tried to impeach him when he asked the president of Ukraine, I heard there was some corruption going on. Why don't you check into it? That's all he asked them. And they want to impeach him over it. Why? Because he poked the bear, man. He was asking for an investigation into what they were doing, you know. But meanwhile, billions, $100 billion goes into Ukraine. Nothing to show for it except death. And weapons showing up around the world in the hands of Hamas. Then we find out Iran's in back of it. Hamas said this. And that, of course, Iran funds and provide and sets up their proxies, like in Syria and Lebanon and, you know, all these places, in Hamas, for example. So this could be a war with Iran. That would be a giant mess. Iran wants to take over. Iran has the type of Islam at the helm that believes it should run the world, but wants to run the entire Middle East, wants to take it all over. The other nations, Arab nations around the Middle East, don't like Iran particularly. But this is what they're doing because they're so big and so powerful. It's Persia, you know. In the Bible, the prince of the power of Persia. Remember that with Daniel? There's a great ruling spirit that sits over this whole thing. And then you read in the Old Testament, you'll see the back and forth between Israel, God's people, and these other nations under these ruling spirits. Well, we won't get off into that subject very much, but I want to say dark times ahead here. It's very frightening, too. Because now there's warnings out. I just saw this yesterday, and I knew it was up, but I saw it now. It confirmed what I was thinking. And they actually are having meetings in the United States about terrorist cells set up all over the United States because they've been flooded with many, many million immigrants, unvetted, unchecked, and coming in from like 170 countries. Biden's government literally flying them in on airlines from around the world, landing them throughout the United States in the major cities, providing them with $2,200 a month each and a cell phone. And only now saying, well, we need to start building the wall, probably because there's so many in the country now, you could successfully launch an overthrow or a great terrorist attack within the United States. If America goes supporting Israel and gets into military action, then, hey, what happens next? What happens next is these terrorist cell activate. You have a massive conflict starts up in the United States. The government, Biden, declares martial law. He can cancel the 2024 election and eliminate Trump. They've already been doing such wicked things about that. And, phew. But what a crazy bunch of stuff. Meanwhile, all the stocks for military and other things have shot sky high. You might not have known this. For example, Northrop Grumman military up 9%. Lockheed Martin, you know, military planes up 7%. Harris Technology 6%. General Dynamics, they make all kinds of military stuff, 6%. Oil, of course, oil's jumping up 5%. Halliburton, another big military contractor, 4%. And on we go. Yeah, war is good for all that, you know. And my goodness, what do you think about all that? The globalists love using this kind of stuff. They love war because it destabilizes countries they can take over. They want to overthrow America because it's the great obstacle. And it's always been this stuff. It's always been this. Now, I want to play you something. This might seem odd, but I saw it pop up here in Telegram. This is from the day the Earth stood still. Here's Klaatu talking with the very wise John Cleese, bringing forth the wisdom of, what, Monty Python. All right, anyway, listen.
There must be alternatives. You must have some technology that could solve our problem.
Your problem is not technology. The problem is you. You lack the will to change.
Then help us change.
I cannot change your nature. You treat the world as you treat each other.
But every civilization reaches a crisis point eventually.
Most of them don't make it.
Yours did. How?
Our sun was dying. We had to evolve in order to survive.
So it was only when your world was threatened with destruction that you became what you are now?
Yes.
Well, that's where we are. You say we're on the brink of destruction, and you're right. But it's only on the brink that people find the will to change. Only at the precipice do we evolve.
Okay, only at the precipice do we evolve. Only problem is, of course, you know that doesn't happen. Man, it's corrupt. You can try to change yourself. You can't change yourself. You might do good in this thing that with the one, you know, Klaatu says, we can't change your nature. That's right. I can't change my nature, but I know who does. His name is Jesus. And this is what we need for all this stuff that's going on, you guys. We need the change of nature. We need what Christ does to bring a transformation in human. Maybe what'll happen out of these wars is more people will turn to God. You know, Israel is mainly secular, very much like it is over here. You know, the whole sexual revolution and perversion, all the stuff that's just rampant there. That's why they were so up in arms about Netanyahu trying to stop the Supreme Court from being able to overturn laws just because they feel like it. They don't like the feeling of the law. That was basically what happened. The Supreme Court was given, had the power of the potentate in Israel. They could do whatever they wanted, and Netanyahu and his government overturned that. Thank God. But boy, the protests against it, that's just a way to overturn a country, you see. Man. So the question we might have, maybe you've got, is, well, if this thing is over, you know, it's a big fight about the Palestinians and they need their own state, why don't we have one yet? It's been like 160 years or something, isn't it? Like, what's going on? I was with a group of people on Saturday, a bunch of guys I'm in a club with, and they got talking about this, and you wouldn't believe that most of them had swallowed hook, line, and sinker the line about Israel trying to, you know, persecute the Palestinians and everything else. It's exactly the opposite, yet the university types here teach that. Man. So, Let me play something from PragerU about why there isn't a Palestinian state. I believe most of us will learn quite a bit from this. This is interesting. And this will explain the conflict. Listen to this. PragerU.
If Israel just allowed the Palestinians to have a state of their own, there would be peace in the Middle East, right? That's what you hear from UN ambassadors, European diplomats, and most college professors. But what if I told you that Israel has already offered the Palestinians a state of their own? And not just once, but on 5 separate occasions. Don't believe me? Let's review the record. After the breakup of the Ottoman Empire following World War I, Britain took control of most of the Middle East, including the area that constitutes modern Israel. 17 years later, in 1936, the Arabs rebelled against the British and against their Jewish neighbors. The British formed a task force, the Peel Commission, to study the cause of the rebellion. The commission concluded that the reason for the violence was that two peoples, Jews and Arabs, wanted to govern the same land. The answer, the Peel Commission concluded, would be to create 2 independent states, one for the Jews and one for the Arabs, a 2-state solution. The suggested split was heavily in favor of the Arabs. The British offered them 80% of the disputed territory, the Jews the remaining 20%. Yet, despite the tiny size of their proposed state, the Jews voted to accept this offer. But the Arabs rejected it and resumed their violent rebellion. Rejection number 1. 10 years later, in 1947, the British asked the United Nations to find a new solution to the continuing tensions. Like the Peel Commission, the UN decided that the best way to resolve the conflict was to divide the land. In November 1947, the UN voted to create 2 states. Again, the Jews accepted the offer, and again, the Arabs rejected it. Only this time, they did so by launching an all-out war. Rejection number 2. Jordan, Egypt, Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria joined the conflict. But they failed. Israel won the war and got on with the business of building a new nation. Most of the land set aside by the UN for an Arab state, the West Bank and East Jerusalem, became occupied territory, occupied not by Israel, but by Jordan. 20 years later, in 1967, the Arabs, led this time by Egypt and joined by Syria and Jordan, once again sought to destroy the Jewish state. The 1967 conflict, known as the Six-Day War, ended in a stunning victory for Israel. Jerusalem and the West Bank, as well as the area known as the Gaza Strip, fell into Israel's hands. The government split over what to do with this new territory. Half wanted to return the West Bank to Jordan and Gaza to Egypt in exchange for peace. The other half wanted to give it to the region's Arabs, who had begun referring to themselves as the Palestinians, in the hope that they would ultimately build their own state there. Neither initiative got very far. A few months later, the Arab League met in Sudan and issued its infamous 3 no's. No peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, no negotiations with Israel. Again, a 2-state solution was dismissed by the Arabs, making this rejection number 3. In 2000, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak met at Camp David with Palestinian Liberation Organization Chairman Yasser Arafat to conclude a new 2-state plan. Barak offered Arafat a Palestinian state in all of Gaza and 94% of the West Bank, with East Jerusalem as its capital. But the Palestinian leader rejected the offer. In the words of U.S. President Bill Clinton, Arafat was here 14 days and said no to everything. Instead, the Palestinians launched a bloody wave of suicide bombings that killed over 1,000 Israelis and maimed thousands more on buses, in wedding halls, and in pizza parlors. Rejection number 4. In 2008, Israel tried yet again. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert went even further than Ehud Barak had, expanding the peace offer to include additional land to sweeten the deal. Like his predecessor, the new Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas, turned the deal down. Rejection number 5. In between these last 2 Israeli offers, Israel unilaterally left Gaza, giving the Palestinians complete control there. Instead of developing this territory for the good of its citizens, The Palestinians turned Gaza into a terrorist base from which they have fired thousands of rockets into Israel. Each time Israel has agreed to a Palestinian state, the Palestinians have rejected the offer, often violently. So if you're interested in peace in the Middle East, maybe the answer is not to pressure Israel to make yet another offer of a state to the Palestinians. Maybe the answer is to pressure the Palestinians to finally accept the existence of a Jewish state. I'm David Brog, Executive Director of the Maccabee Task Force for Prager University.
Wow, isn't that interesting what's happened? And you might say, well, is there any hope? All the Arabs want to crush and destroy Israel? Well, no. And this is the most amazing thing in which there is a hope called the Abraham Accords. This is remarkable. This was something that was done by Donald Trump when he was president that normalized Arab-Israeli relationships. It started out with the United Arab Emirates and went on to Bahrain as well, and then Morocco and Sudan. And what it was instead of dividing on the land, let's make the relationships normalized with these Arab nations and recognize our similarities, all being descendants of Abraham. Isn't that something? And so the Trump administration has been the first time in all that history where you have the Arab nations, some of them, deciding for peace rather than war. Quite amazing, I think. So all of that happened back in September 2020. And here we go again with the conflict over Gaza and the Palestinians and the terrorist groups. Where will it end? Well, let's pray as I conclude here. But I believe, as the Bible says, the Lord's presence, his glory is in the earth. We don't see it, but one day the knowledge of the Lord's glory will be in the earth. We'll know it. But the Lord is the one who brings peace. As I said after that bit with the day the earth stood still, Klaatu says, we can't change human nature, but God does. When people turn to the Lord, when you turn to the Lord, when you believe in what Christ did at the cross and ask him, he supernaturally invades your life and begins an inner transformation that you can't explain, but you know it's him and you know it's real. Oh my Lord, we pray for the good news of the kingdom of God to excel in this time, the gospel to go forth. Many in this conflict turn with all their heart toward you and turn to Christ. We pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, because you are God and King. Come out of this, Lord, with your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.